This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Talo Falava to our Samoan listeners. Once again, we are getting one of your stars on, but this time it's a new face in footy who could be anything in both league and union. Welcome to everyone joining us for Neesian Footy today, the best place to keep up to date with all our Pacifica athletes shining in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and alongside me is the former Wakefield weapon, Tinidar Arona T.
Kia ora, Sammy.
How are you, mate?
Hey, speaking of Wakefield, they are playing at Wembley soon, so all the best to all my brothers.
For relegation?
Nah, it's some competition.
Oh.
Second, okay. Yeah, yeah. So, all the best out there, boys. You didn't mention her name, our guest on the show.
I want to save it for later.
A huge get. Only 16 or 17 today, so we'll be singing. You'll be singing happy birthday. Shalom Sawaso.
Sawaso, what a freak. I watched her play her trial game against the Waratahs early in the year, then her debut game against Fijiana. Killed it.
She's also signed with the Broncos. So, rumour has it.
That's it. I'm done. My show's done. My rugby news
last
is gone.
Last year, rugby union. Then she's swapping over with Joseph Suoliti. You know, doing a bit of a trade. One to league, one to union. She is going to be a star. But, Sammy, a huge show ahead. We have Origin in a couple days, both men's and women's. Men's play on Wednesday, women's on Thursday. And you can hear all about that on Radio Australia and ABC Sport this week. And guess who's back?
Shelley's back.
The one and only.
Back again.
Shelley Long.
Perfect.
So we'll catch up with her with the grand final that she played a couple of weeks ago. She's also been in PNG, and we'll get her insight on the woman's state of origin. Let's rock.
Whoa. Plus, it's There's the last more. Round of Super Rugby. Finals time this week. Don't you dare skim over my rugby union chat, mate. But, yeah, we'll talk all things Super Rugby as well.
Moment of the week.
Sammy, on the weekend, the Bulldogs with a huge win over the Newcastle Knights in Newcastle. They won 32-2. And no, that's not my moment. My moment is young Lipoi Hopoi makes his debut for the Canterbury Bulldogs. Now, he came on, made an instant impact, some strong carries, some huge defensive efforts. But what stood out for me was the moment we shared the news with his mother. We've got some audio here.
Mum.
What's wrong? Are you alright?
Yeah. Are you going to come watch my game, Newcastle?
Yeah.
Oh, how many tickets do you need?
We're all coming, even Wesley and Courtney and the babies.
What time is he going to come?
We're going to leave here about 3 or 4.
Oh, you don't have to, Mum, because I'm going to make my debut for NRL.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, are you seriously, boy?
Yeah, I am, Mum.
Oh my gosh, Lee boy! Oh my gosh, Lee boy!
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Is this everything that you worked?
No.
Lee, let me take a quick prayer for you, please. Just let me pray for you.
Yeah. You take a deep breath.
Oh, thank the staff and everybody there, Lee boy.
No, I am. You're getting recorded, Mum.
Oh, my God.
That brings a bit of a tear to you listening to that, eh, Sammy?
You laughed at us last week, me and Sulla, because we shed a little tear about a similar thing, and now you're saying, oh.
When you hear it there,
it's different, eh?
Emotion. Was it union you're on?
I can't remember what it is, but what a beautiful moment that was. And you're right. How funny is it too when you make that phone call and she answers it and goes, what's wrong? I automatically think something's wrong. But that's her mum's name is Joyce Valele. And guess who he is related to? We've had him on the show.
One of your family members? Is he another family member of yours?
No, he's not mine, unfortunately, this time.
Shocked.
Kampisi Maafu, the flying Fijian. He's played for Fiji in rugby, but also is part Tongan as well. His grandmother and Hopoi's grandmother are sisters. So there's the relation there.
What a family. I loved how his mother, you know, getting that news straight away, what did she think? Straight to puts faith first.
Absolutely. You know, yeah, it's a beautiful prayer.
It's followed by a beautiful prayer from his mother there. So great work, and I thought he killed it in that game as well. So congratulations to Lepoi Hopui.
Bula, my name is Vani Are. You're listening to Nijin Puri.
Sammy, we'll start with the NRL and then we'll cover some rugby news. So I'm going to start with the Raiders versus the Dolphins. This one went into Golden Point up at Redcliffe. For the Dolphins, I thought Isaiah Katoa's kicks were on point. You know, he kicked two 40-20s that led to both those 40-20s led to points. He also kicked a nice crossfield kick where Konele Lemuelu, he jumped up, hit it back, and then off that hit back to a pass, Fijian Kurt Donoghue scores his first NRL try in the corner. So your little cousin, he's doing some great work there. But this was a night for the Raiders. Cook Island fullback Jordan Rapana. Firstly, he kicked 4 from 4 goals. Then he slots a field goal with 2 minutes left on the clock to send them into overtime. And then on the 87th minute, he does this.
Tarpany down the middle with a valuable 10 metres, 25 out. Plays the ball back to Rapana. Has the drop goal attempt from 32 out. And it's gone through. Canberra win. Jordan Rapana has kicked the field goal. And Canberra takes 87 minutes to beat Redcliffe.
Oh, Geordie Raps, eh? Unbelievable. Speaking of field goals, was it supposed to go to him? Like, is he a known field goal specialist, or was he in the wrong place and they've just given it to him? He goes, I'm just going to drop it.
That was the first time he's kicked a field goal in his career, in our career.
And really?
And he kicked two of them.
Oh, my goodness, kicks two of them.
So they go on and win this game 26-25. So great work to the Raiders. And our good friend Josh Papali'i, who was on our show last week. A lot of Cook Island family and friends loved a little shout out, the little nod from the recruit over here. And remember, you can go and hear that episode anywhere you get
all
your podcasts.
All of the Cook Islands are on that message, on those DMs saying, you're the new Prime Minister if this happens.
Panthers versus Dragons. I went to this one. It was a cold, wet Saturday night at the bottom of the Blue Mountains. So me and the wife and my cousin got out there. It was a nice evening. Plenty of Origin stars missing from this game, from both teams. No Jerome Luai, no Bizza, no Jaden Sua, but 2 NRL points were still up for grabs. Panthers led at halftime 10-0. A strong carry from Panthers centre Paul Alamotti to score a try. But whatever was said in the Dragon shed at halftime worked. I know I've copped a couple of Flano messages, his speeches when I was at Cronulla, and I'm pretty sure he revved the boys up at Cronulla. At the Dragons. Well, this second half, they look like a finals team. They go on and win this second half, 22 points to nothing. Dragons outside backs carried the ball with intent. We had Sione Finau, twin brothers Max and Matt Fiangai, and Moses Sully, all were very strong. The twin brothers, do you know where they're from?
They're Tongan.
They are Samoan.
Samoan.
And the Dragons Samoan back rowers, I thought, stood out. Very, very strong. Luciano on the left, he throws a nice cutout ball out to Matt Fiangai for a nice try.
Eyes in half. Gets away from one tackler. Right to left, they shift it now. It comes off to Matthew Fiangai. Still going, goes in to score the try. He had 3 pairs on his hammer, but Matthew Fiangai scores the try.
Yep, he forgot Luciano's cutout ball, but I'll save them there.
Get him in the commentary box.
My man of the match, the other back row on the right side, Raymond Faitala Marina. He had 48 tackles. 120 metres he made with the ball, 11 tackle breaks, and he scored a try for the Red V.
Last play here, St. George Illawarra to Bellin. Catch and pass here, off to Marshke, to Faitala Marina, who's in the end goal with a grounding as well. That can seal the game. Raymond Faitala Marina. 20-10, kick to come Dragons. This second half has been exclusively red and white and belonging to Shane Flanagan's team.
22-10 end result. Panthers go down. And remember, you can hear every NRL game each week live on ABC Radio Australia.
Man, I should have went with Sulla's tip. She picked the Dragons.
She even mentioned the Whiangai Twins.
She did.
In New South Wales, Josie Flegg, Cavite Silktail. Sorry, I just seen the score and almost muffled. It was 56-0 to the Raiders. That's 10 from 10. Come on, man. What are my brothers up to, man?
On a serious note, do you think it's a step too far for them to play Josie Flegg? They need to go back to, is it Ron Massey Cup? I understand it's for development and pathways.
I think it will just take a bit of time. You know, if you think you're playing at that Ron Massey, playing with men, all of a sudden coming down, playing at a faster pace, kids that are not too far away from, you know, cracking full time.
Yeah, true.
So it's a good stepping stone for them. I think they're learning some great lessons.
Character building.
Our friend Wes Naguama is...
he's doing okay. Hopefully he's doing okay.
In the Queensland Cup, PNG Hunters lost to South Logan Magpies 48-36 in Port Moresby. They're now down at 11th, but only one win away from fifth place. Very tight competition
In the Q Cup there.
And Sammy's State of Origin coming up Wednesday night.
And Thursday.
Thursday with the women's, men's on Wednesday. Who are you tipping? Who do you think is going to get man of the match for both games?
I'm going to go with James Tedesco to get have a big game. He's not going to be my man of the match, but he's going to have a big game because he's been called back in. I think the Blues are going to win. They're going to win in a tight one. Man of the match? It's a good question. Stephen Crichton.
Ooh, I'm going Blues to win. And Nico Hines to step up and get man of the match. In the women's game, I'll say Blues will win again.
And Blues, I reckon they're going to win by 20.
I reckon Sulla is going to get on a little bit early. And she'll be a smoky for man of the match.
Player of the match.
Off to rugby union, mate.
Off to rugby union. Oh, yeah, a lot happening in rugby league. Can't wait for this week with the Origin to get underway. And Super Rugby, it's coming to the back end. Last round happened over the weekend. Some tight results, some big results. And we'll be leading into the first week of finals this week. And we're going to start with Minor Pacifica. They had the first game on the Friday night. They had the tough task of heading down to Christchurch to play against the Crusaders to potentially give themselves a shot at making the eight for the very first time. And what about this? The Crusaders, 14-time champions. They have won the last seven titles. But this year, they had to wait to the last game to see if they could make it. They had to win this game with a bonus point to give themselves a chance of playing finals footy. But they needed the drawer to lose against the Rebels. So they had to wait for the next day to see if they were going to, you know, advance to the finals. It's crazy when you've won 14 and then the last seven titles has been you, and then you're down the bottom.
I've seen on social media Richie Moonga's stats, and he's just won every single year.
13 championships.
He's won his domestic comp up in, is it in Japan?
Yeah, Japan. Yep, Toshiba just won.
And he leaves Crusaders and now fighting to make the eight. They don't even make the finals.
Well, they don't make it. Because, even though they won 43-10 against Moana Pacifica, it's allowed them, as I said, to put them, you know, one step in there. But it would have been a miracle. It would have been an absolute miracle if either of those teams would have made finals footy. It was just, they looked at their best. They played well. But two players I want to make a big shout out to for Minor Pacifica, the Anisi brothers, Lotu and Fine Anisi. Fine the winger, Lotu the number eight. They combined for a beautiful try off the back of the line out. We just saw Lotu Anisi get the ball wide and he's turned it on the inside shoulder for his brother to hit a nice line. And he scores the only try for Minor Pacifica. And I think for those two players, they're going to be filling those shoes in years to come. Hopefully they can keep them there.
Tana Umanga, first year head coach. What are your thoughts?
Outstanding job. I think he's been at the head coaching role before with the Auckland Blues. Didn't have probably the success that he was looking for, you know, with his stature. So he took some time away. Now he's come back and he has laid some really good foundations for this Moana Pacifica team moving forward. They should hold their head up really high because he's unearthed some talent. He's given those leadership roles, like, you know, two guys like Christian Liliuofano or Sekope Kepu, who announced his retirement. They'll be finishing up. So all of them together have put Minor Pacifica in good shape for years to come. And yeah, he's done a magnificent job. Yes, and moving on to the draw Rebels game. And as I said, the Crusaders were relying on the Rebels to win. And it was looking promising at halftime. It was 19-19. But the Fijian draw got the job done in Lotoka, Fiji, to cement their spot in the final series for the second time.
Doso viti doso.
Doso viti doso to everyone out there. But, you know, for both teams, there was a lot to play for. You know, the Rebels, we announced last week, they found out just before they got on the plane to Fiji that they were no longer in the competition. Talking to their coach, Kevin Foote, he said they definitely knew it was happening.
Yeah.
They definitely knew it was happening. But the hardest thing was is that you're hanging on to hope because they actually hadn't made the decision yet. So when he said, okay, we're no longer in the competition, it was actually a little bit of a relief because now everyone could start planning, you know, for the future and moving on. Whereas the last 5 months, they've just been saying, yeah, we could be. Now you're out. You're in. You're out.
Imagine being a staff member or a trainer or a coach and you're thinking, you know, you're going to be there again next year, but it's not confirmed. Now that it's confirmed, now they can start planning.
They can start planning. Even though they probably would have been, they knew. But as I said, you don't know until you actually know.
Yeah.
And that's what happened before they got on that plane. It was probably the best place for them to go is to Fiji. Stay tight as a group. Galvanize him. As I said, Kevin Foote, he's the master at, you know, messaging and theming throughout the week. I've had him before as a player when I was at the Western Force. So that's what they did. And they looked good in the first half. Both teams looked good with the ball. But both teams were probably poor without the ball and they leaked points either side. And what happened was the momentum was just going back and forth in that first half. But for the second half, you know, statistically the draw doesn't score many in the second half compared to their first half. But they came out and they were a different beast in the second half. They were on fire, all one-way traffic right from the kickoff. Celestino Ravutamanda, he scores a brilliant try in the corner, and 7 minutes later, on the other wing, Wanga Nalanga, he scores his second try in the corner, and then 5 minutes later, Frank Lamani scores a try. So they ended up getting out to 40-19 to go to the finals. Like it was just a second half thrashing for the Fijian draw. They held onto the ball nicely, built phases, quick ball, and they were on. So
must have been another halftime coaches chat. From Flanner.
From Flanner. But the thing about that as well, why both teams had a lot to play for was the fact that Mick Byrne, their head coach, that could have been his last game as well. But yeah, so I think for them, it's they're 5-5 in Lotoka. They've only lost one home game in Fiji. Like it's going to be a mammoth task for them to go over to New Zealand. And for the Rebels, they get to play finals footy. So they've got one more week to keep their jersey alive. And their assistant coach, Jeff Parling, former England international, former British and Irish Lion, he said the week is going to be the best week of their life.
Talk to me. Who's playing who in the finals?
Who is playing who in the finals? Well, because the draw won, they locked into their second finals appearance. They finished seventh, so jumping over the Rebels. We will look at the quarterfinals. Chiefs versus the Reds on the Friday. Then we've got Hurricanes versus the Rebels over in New Zealand, Blues versus the draw in New Zealand as well, and the Brumbies versus the Highlanders in Canberra, the only game in Australia.
Is there any lives? Anyone get a chance? Is it?
Or it's is it just straight knockout.
Straight knockout.
Straight knockout.
You lose, you're out.
You lose, you're out. I can't see any upset from the Rebels beating the Hurricanes, the draw beating the Blues. Maybe the Reds beating the Chiefs. That could be a smoky.
My mate Jeff.
Do you think, yeah? Oi, you know what? That would be actually a good one.
Reds are beating the Chiefs, mate.
That would be a good game. I think that would be a fiery game, and I think it would be a good game to start off the final series for Super Rugby. So we'll be looking forward to that result. Also, we had the Madrid Sevens on over the weekend. Fiji men got the bronze, beating New Zealand in the third and fourth playoff. France with the win in the Sevens finals. Mate, they're looking good for a home Olympics. And for Samoa, disappointing loss. You know, they've lost their place on the Sevens tour, unfortunately. So they'll drop down. And we're going to find out all the women's rugby action news and results from Shelley Long.
Well, it's good that she'll be back joining us here on Nijin Footy, where we've missed her last week. So let's head over to Shelley on The Long Story Short.
The Long Story Short with Shelley Long.
It's great to have you back, Shelley Long, our PNG Orchid star and North Queensland Cowboy in the NRLW. Shelley, let's wind the clock back. Your grand final, we didn't get to celebrate, but how did it all go?
Oh, it was such a tough and hard game, and I actually walked away from the grand final saying, in the last year, that's probably one of the hardest games that we've ever played, and that probably includes NRLW. I mean, last year, you know, when you're getting a few points put on you, you get a few rest breaks. But in that grand final on the weekend, it was a grind. In the second half, especially, no tries were actually made. So it was just back-to-back defending, grind it out type of footy, which we love.
Was it the speed as well? Was it a fast game? Or was it just more like that bash and barge, just repeat sets, just holding your defensive line?
It was a mixture of both. It got quite physical straight away, but then the speed of it increased towards the back end of the game. So I felt like, especially in that second half, you know, fatigue really kicked in, and then all of a sudden it was a really fast game.
We'll touch on your trip that you had to prepare for to you went to PNG shortly after the grand final, but did you have any time to celebrate your victory?
I had just after the game, pretty much with the girls, we went into the dressing sheds. Then I had to have a shower and head to the airport because I was on that flight, that late night flight back to Townsville, unfortunately, while the girls celebrated. But you know what? I am extremely grateful that I got to at least spend that time with the girls and go away with the girls and play in that grand final.
That's awesome. How's the body after the season of footy and you're about to go into your pre-season with the Cowboys? Are you primed? Are you ready to go? Or do you need a couple more weeks to freshen up?
Oh, I'll say on here that I feel good and I'm ready to go. But I think, you know, like it adds up, like playing footy back to back and then kind of having a couple of days off and then straight into another preseason. It is definitely tough on the body and also, I think, tough on the mindset. You know, you've got to then go back through a second preseason, and even going through one's a challenge. So to go through two in a year is tough, but, you know, we love footy and that's what we do. So I'll back up and I'll go to training.
All the travel that you've been doing, either in the car or in the air, has it taken its toll a little bit on yourself?
Yeah, definitely. And I'm also a person who has low iron in general. So I'm already got that fatigue factor, and then increase in travel, that also is fatiguing in itself. So the last couple of weeks, I've definitely found, like, you know, I'm a lot more exhausted, but it's been good. I've been able to see the doc and have a few things in place so that I'm full of energy, hopefully, leading up to the preseason.
Hey, well, one of my secrets was coconut water. Did you get any coconuts in PNG, and what was that trip like?
No, I didn't get any coconuts in PNG, but the trip was incredible. And for me, it was also my first time back to my province. So I'm from Western Province in PNG. And when I get to play for the Orchids, we generally are based in Port Moresby. But for the first time, yeah, I got to fly back, see my beautiful province, meet some Wontoks as well there. And it was super special. Like, I introduced myself. We did a lot of community trips and out to schools and also to the hospitals. And as soon as I introduced myself, there was already people like, hey, I'm from the same village, or, you know, and it was incredible. And I think, like, going into preseason, like, my mind's just honestly been thinking about PNG and how nice a place it was.
I could only imagine that would have filled your cup right up, being there amongst your community, your province. You did some clinics there as well. And were there a lot of young girls, like, you know, training and participating in those clinics?
Yeah, there was a lot of young girls, a lot of future Orchids that I saw in those communities. And I think, you know, they don't get to see too much of footy players through the community. So take myself and Rob Derby over there was an incredible moment for them. And me and Rob talked a little bit about it while we were over there. And we said the impact that it has, we kind of just think, you know, they'll only remember it for that one day or for that 30 minutes that we're at that school. But to them, they're going to remember that for a lifetime. Like, they're going to remember we were thought about, and these players came to our community, and I can be like one of those players. So it always, yeah, fills my cup.
Was there anything in particular that really stood out for you from that trip where it really did fill the cup right up and all the tired and travel and fatigue stuff sort of went out the window because of this moment?
We were driving up to one of the mines, and along the way I saw a kid walking in their school uniform with no bags, so no billum, no nothing. And I said, hey, do these kids, like, they're not carrying any food or water. Will they get anything when they get to school? And I knew that, like, I knew it was also, like, a long hike for them. These kids are traveling, like, 30, 40 minutes on foot just to get to school, and probably some more over a longer period of time just to walk to school. And they said, no, they don't get anything. So they'll go hungry at school, and then they probably don't have anything at night either. So they'll probably go hungry until they can get some food. And I just thought, wow, like, it's a different way of living. Like, here, you know, you go less than 5 minutes without food or water and you're complaining. But they're like, that really opened my eyes up. And I think, like, when you see the amount of players who play for PNG and who play for the Orchids or the Kumuls or even just in the Queensland Cup, the amount of things that they would have had to do just to be the successful player that they are and the challenges that they would have faced. So to me, that was the biggest eye-opener.
Yeah, it does make you feel grateful for the positions that we are in today. And it reminds me of a conversation I had with Justin Olam, who's at the West Tigers, chat a few weeks ago. And he speaks about wanting to make an impact and a difference when they go to PNG, but go to the Highlands, go to his village, exactly what you've done there. So I love that there's people in your platform and, you know, playing NRL and NRLW and wanting to make an impact, not only in the main cities, but also up in the villages and the Highlands as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, like, it's good. I think it's a good recognition of the positions that we're in. And once you get a few people like Justin Olam and myself who recognize that, it's only in a short period of time that eventually this stuff will start happening more frequently. So I'm excited for it.
Off to Rugby League. State of Origin this week, game two in Newcastle. It's a sellout, close to 30,000. How exciting is that going to be for the women's? You pick New South Wales to beat Queensland in game one. Do you think this will happen again in game two?
Unfortunately, I do. I think the Blues are a solid team. I think they've got a home crowd advantage. Newcastle has always been a strong town when it comes to women's rugby league. Record attendances has been broken there previously in NRLW. So I think when it comes to Origin, I think New South Wales would definitely have that advantage and they'll be looking strong. But as well, they have named an unchanged team, whereas Tani Norris, after the game, she did say that she potentially wouldn't make any changes. However, she does have two young debutantes in the squad. So proud Samoan and current Titans player Diana Lafipo has been named to play lock, as well as proud Tongan and former Newcastle Knights Emma Packie has been named to come off the bench. So, you know, I'm excited. I really hope for the girls that they get the win. But I think it'll be a tough game.
Well, there you have it. A huge responsibility for the Queensland girls. But Shelley's tipped the Blues, even though she lives in Queensland. And remember, you can catch that game on ABC Radio Australia if you're listening in the Pacific, or ABC Sport if you're listening in Australia. Rugby Union, what do we got? Anything? Nothing? All right, good to see you. Goodbye.
Yeah, that's basically summed it up. No, there's been news in the women's game for Rugby Union. We have the Oceania Rugby Women's Championship.
The Fijian team just made the World Cup.
Oh, thanks, Shelley.
Sorry.
Thanks, Shelley. You just said.
Was that the other? Oh, we do too many shows. We've covered. Yeah, sorry, Shelley.
No, your ego today is just, you know, you really want to be front and center here. Like, sorry, Shelley.
I go for 1 week and T thinks he has my spot.
Exactly.
That's what
right.
I mean. I'm used to her not being here, so we just quickly run
1 week.
It.
She was over in PNG doing some great community work. Gave up her celebrations.
Oh, here we go. You weren't saying that earlier.
You know
mate.
What I mean? Like, and,
you
and
were
here,
not
you
saying
have the audacity,
that earlier.
The audacity.
Shelley, you should have seen what he was saying.
No, hey, Shelley, don't let this guy. Look, he's already stolen your thunder once. Don't do that. Let's get to it.
I need the untaped stuff sent to me now. Well, Madrid Rugby Sevens happened over the weekend. Australia are officially the World Series champions. So after an impressive win over New Zealand in the semi-finals, this has also not been done in over 125 days from what I've heard. Australia's eyes were focused on their next job, the grand final, and they came out strong, beating France 26-7. So in a setup and in a preparation to an Olympics, I think Australia are doing really well. You know, they didn't win every single series, but that sport, I think winning Madrid was a great step in the right direction in the lead up to the Olympics.
Yeah, the Sevens circuit is one of the most competitive circuits to win consistently. There's so many tournaments. You've got to back up. You talk about the travel in different countries and time zones. But yeah, Australia have been consistently been at the top in every single tournament. And their semi-final win against New Zealand with a kick on the bell to win the game, like, that was outstanding from the girls.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it kind of goes to show where their heart's at and where they want to be. And I think a tough loss at the Olympics last year, they didn't place a gold. So I think this year they'll definitely be wanting that gold and be chasing it. And I'm backing them to do that as well after this year's competition.
Yeah, solid performance. And then Fiji women, they got seventh in that tournament. But the big news, Oceania Rugby Women's Championship, that T already announced. But anyway, we'll let you do the honours.
Drum roll, please.
So Fijiana were crowned the grand final winners after beating Manasina 27 points to 13. So incredible for them, especially in that 15 space. They'll be going strength from strength. And you never know. I've got a feeling that with the way it's going in rugby union, Fijiana will be up there in no time. Like, I'm looking at the rankings and I'm thinking they're definitely soon to be up there.
Well, in Fiji, they're investing a lot in the women's game. But you're not wrong there, Shelley. But also we had the Tongans versus PNG as well. Your fellow countrymen over there, how did PNG go in that tournament?
So they didn't win a game. I don't want to talk about it. But you know what? I think rugby union is definitely growing over there. And rugby league is doing quite well. So we might see a couple of union players jump over into the Orchid squad soon
enough. There it is.
There it is. I thought you were going to say rugby's the winner at the end of the day. But hey, look, Tonga only won one game, and that was against PNG. So I don't want to talk about it either. On that note, outstanding work, Shelley. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Enjoy preseason, and we look forward to hearing all about it when you get back.
Thanks, guys. Looking forward to it.
Thanks, Shelley, for joining us. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Let's head over to our guest for today's show, Shalom Sawaso. Now, we've been in contact with her agent and mentor, Glenn, and he's teed us up with this amazing guest. Honoured to have her here on our show.
This is Nijin Footy.
T, we have seen some great rugby league and rugby union players cross over to play both codes for both the men's and the women's game. Like, names like Lotte Tungiri, Tiana Penatani, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. The list goes on, but one name I believe will make that prestigious list is our next guest, Shalom Sawaso. She is one of the brightest young stars coming through at the moment. She's one of the youngest players to ever make her Super W debut for the Queensland Reds. Was called into the Wallaroos after that Super W competition. She took some time off to go and captain the Queensland City team, under sevens team, to play league. And she's done this all before she turns the age of 17. Shalom, welcome to Nijin Footy.
Oh, thank you.
Man, that is outstanding.
17.
17. Today is your birthday, actually. Is it today?
Yes, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Go, Sammy, now you have to sing your song.
Happy long life to... No, that's after happy birthday. Well, I've got a terrible voice. We'll put you to sleep. But obviously, we just mentioned the fact that you've achieved so much before you've turned 17. Is footy too easy for you?
Oh, no. I wouldn't say it's too easy. Honestly, it's not easy. You've got to work hard to know the game. So,
who inspired you to play footy, both rugby union or rugby league?
I'd say my dad. My dad inspired me. Growing up, I'm the only girl, so I got two brothers, one older, one younger. And I think all we ever knew was rugby. And my dad just told me to get out at the backyard, chuck some boots on, and the old poly ways,
run it straight
at each other. So yeah.
Man, I love hearing that and seeing more of that happen more and more now with the Polynesian dads taking the daughters out the back as well and just throwing them in the mix. You know, can you explain to us, what some of those sessions were like with your dad and some of the messages around being a professional athlete?
Ooh, sessions with my dad. There was a lot of yelling with it, eh? No, those sessions, I would say those sessions were probably the sessions that got me like where I am today. You know, dad being dad, he never took it easy on me, even though I was, you know, daddy's little princess. When it came to training, you know, had to switch on, like, you know, had to have everything straight. But no, those sessions were quite hard. All he'd make us do is just run. And, you know, dad being dad, if he was mad at us, me and the boys, he wasn't happy with the specific drill, like if we were doing agility or if it was just like defense, he would be like, run. You know? That's literally, those were his favorite lines. He would be like, get on the line. You need to run. Like, but no, it honestly paid off. And I think it shows reaching like the top levels, you know, it all kind of leads back to those sessions, which is good. So yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. I love hearing them stories. Tell us about your brothers. Yeah, do you have a competitive family? Are you competitive when you're training against each other?
Oh, not so much my older brother. My older brother was like, he knew he would beat us and everything, but it was more of like me and my little brother, because we're only a year apart. So there was a competition in everything that we did. So yeah, even with running and stuff, even though that I'm still faster, but it's fine. But no, yeah, everything was a competition with the little one, eh? And you'd have the older one who'd always instigate it, be like, oh, you're gonna let that slide, don't take that lump, don't take that. Oh yeah. It was always those ones. But yeah, I think those old days, you know, training in the backyard, it kind of helps you like in the future. Although you kind of think it's pointless at the time, but it builds up, which is good.
I can't believe you're only 17. And
you've achieved more than me and T put together in our whole career. It's unbelievable. I wish I had that mindset at 16. 17.
Yeah, that's crazy. Sammy, you mentioned her debut. What was it like when you made your debut and you know, the youngest player ever to make her Super W debut for the Reds? How did that feel, and was it an honour to represent, you know, Queensland Reds?
No, yeah, it was an unreal experience, eh? The Reds girls, the group was amazing. You know, they all got around really well, especially with my debut. Kicking in with like heaps of nerves, you know, they all were always there to like get around me and stuff. But no, that experience, that was probably like the best experience that I could ever have playing in the Super Dubs.
What do you think as a young girl, what are you thinking through your mind when you're about to play these games? Do you keep it simple, or is there so much running through your mind that you've learned throughout the week?
Oh, that week, there was a lot going on in my head. I was just pretty much fighting a lot of demons, not gonna lie, but yeah, there was just a lot of thoughts like, what if I do this wrong, that wrong? But I think as the day came, all I had in my head was just don't get dropped. That's all I had in my head. I was like, yeah, if I get dropped, I'm quitting. I'm quitting 15. that was probably my only thought during the time.
That's actually crazy when you mention that, because at a young age, that's probably what you're thinking is,
well,
like.
Fear is the motivator.
And staying
at
in
a young
the team.
Age. Yep.
Yeah.
You're not wrong. Well, let's talk about that right hand side scrum. Was that move called for you to score that try, or did you just go, I'm getting the ball and I'm just going to go run straight? Whatever move, don't care. Oh. I'm just getting the ball early. I'm going to run straight.
No, I actually didn't know I was going to score it. No, that wasn't even a move. So our skipper, C. Smith, she was supposed to carry. So we have like every time off a scrum, there's always the 12, 13 that takes a hit up. Yeah, and I was on the wing at that time because I was coming back for like, I was recovering from injury, and all I hear is, Lummy, get in, come and run the ball. And I'm like, eh! And then she goes, just run the ball as hard as you can. And you know, I was not going to run it straight because I'd get put on my ass. No, thank you. Yeah, no, I just saw that space behind the scrum, so I had to take it. Took my chances.
That's special. What about your family? Were your family around after the game? How proud were they?
My parents were really proud, and I'm happy that I got to score in front of them, because I just want them to see that, like, all their hard work that they put into me, like, it's paying off. Although, like, there's a lot going on, like, in our family, you know, paying bills and stuff. I know it's a lot. I guess just that try, just kind of, I want that try to like remind them that they're doing a good job and that they're, you know, they're taking me to good places.
Oh man, you love to hear that. You know, the sacrifices that are made from your parents and family members to be where you are today. It's beautiful that you've already got that understanding and that appreciation of that. When you did score that try, is your dad one of those dads that won't celebrate and stand staunch?
Or did yes.
He, you know what I mean? Just like, hey, run. He just thinking, you're looking at him for that. Yeah, me, I scored. And he goes, run. Or did he celebrate hard as well?
He was staunched. He was staunched, man, after the game. But when we got in the car, you scored. I was like, what?
Of course it was. Of course.
My dad's the type to stay staunched up until it's just us. That's when he shares his emotions.
Tell us about your culture, you know, Samoan heritage. Did you grow up in a strong Samoan cultured family?
Yeah, I did. Family growing up, we didn't have much money growing up. And so, you know, everything was based off the islands, the island ways. You know, if you did, there's always discipline to it. If you did something wrong, you get disciplined for it. And I'm pretty sure you guys know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
That's exactly where you're going with this, yes. We can read between the lines.
Yes. Yeah. No, but, yeah, I think growing up with a strong cultured family, it makes me represent who I am. So I'm super grateful for that.
Man, we love to hear that. You're going to have the opportunity to play for Australia, probably for Queensland in Origin, maybe for Samoan League, possibly at the Olympics. It's all in front of you. Like, how have you managed to navigate, you know, going between rugby league and rugby union? Because we mentioned at the top of the show that you had some time off Super W. Is that right, to go captain that under-17s Queensland City team? Like, how have you managed to navigate both codes?
Oh, I haven't really done it. I just get told to play. But this is when Glenn plays a huge part in my life. He kind of tells me like which one I've got to do, because I've got a whole calendar set up, which one I'm going to do, which one's the best for me. And yeah, that's kind of how I operate so far.
Yeah, nice. Well, I guess all of that would have been good experience, you know, planning your day out and understanding professional lifestyle. Can you talk to us about your Wallaroos experience? And I know you didn't get to play, but what did you learn from being in that camp?
I learned how to be like more mature. I guess, you know, going away with grown women and then coming back to my age group is there's a big difference between the two. You know, my age group nowadays, like, they're always late to things. Whereas Wallaroos, you had to be there early, like 10 minutes before you got to be there. That's when the meetings, even though that they've set a time, they always start at least 5 minutes, 10 minutes early. So I think just growing up, I've learned how to be more mature. Yeah, Wallaroos experience is pretty good.
Can you pass that knowledge on to my mate over there?
Whoa. Hold up.
No, I'm joking. I've actually
got a really good saying that I teach my kids. It's, if you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. And yeah, it's something true, that true. I make sure. It's just a bit of a respect thing as well. You know, it's respectful to be on time or be early and be well prepared. But I'm happy that you're learning these lessons very, very early in your career. Can we stop talking about rugby union and move to rugby league now?
Sure thing.
We're going to the real sport. Talk us through your connection with the Brisbane Broncos.
Oh, connection with them. They have been so good to me. The Broncos have honestly been so understanding. Like, me being a young athlete, and still in school, they've let me do both. Like, up until the actual day I've got to pick. My connection with Broncos and the coaching staff, they're so good. Honestly, without them, I didn't think I'd be able to do like any of the other things that I've been doing. So.
And are we allowed to announce you signing a new deal with the Brisbane Broncos? Is that correct?
Yeah.
There it is. And she's already jumped ship.
Hang on a tick.
What's wrong?
Say for instance, if you had a major debut for the Wallaroos,
yeah,
would that have swayed your decision?
Probably, yeah.
Nah, I'm getting on the phone now to Rugby Australia. Hopefully someone answers.
The one thing I do realize is the way the growth of the women's game and the opportunities that girls are going to have in the next 5 to 10 years. Are you excited to see the sport in the women's rugby league space grow at such a rapid rate?
I'm so excited to see where the NRLW is going, because I know that back then, you know, I'm not sure if you know Veronica White.
Nah.
But she's like one of the ex league players. She's one of the ex league players. She back then she used to tell us all about her days back in rugby, and they didn't have much. You know, they took the leftovers of the boys, and you know, coming to my generation now, it's like we get everything given for free and stuff. So no, yeah, I'm so excited to see where the next few years come.
It warms my heart that you've got such strong values around understanding about the people that have laid the platform for yourself for you to have this opportunity. There's not many people recognize that, and they feel like the game owes them something. And for you to have that at such a young age, you're going to have a very long career. You're going to have a very long career, and I can't wait to just see you just unfold and fold people, really.
Any chance of you're obviously a Queenslander.
You can't ask for tickets.
No, I'm jumping over. I'm trying to get her to come to the Blues. One, Glenn, if you're listening, we're going to set her up at the Sydney Roosters, and then it's the New South Wales Blues. So, Uncle Nick, if you're listening.
Oh, man. Now, leave her alone. We don't want to create headlines. You know what NRL media is like. We're not going to do that here to her. I just want to have a couple of quick fire questions here as well. And I know T's going to ask some more, but I just want to know, being a teenager, I know that there's, especially in the household, are you too cool to be dropped off by your parents to training, or do you tell them to stay at home?
No, of course not. No, my parents have to take me. I literally like cry if they don't come with me. Like, I have to have them. I'm still like that little girl that like needs her parents.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like even with talking to people, if my parents are not there, I'll stay in my corner and I'll wait for them to come. Because my mom, she's a big social butterfly. So she usually starts all the conversations, and I kind of just follow her. I need my parents.
Is your mum one of those ladies that say, this is my daughter, she plays for the Queensland Reds and the Wallaroos?
No.
Oh, well, that's what my mum does. I'm like, I'm trying to run away from my mum.
No, I always tell her, like, if she never really says it, but I reckon if she were to, then I'd probably tell her, like,
stop.
I'd probably tell her to stop.
Man, that's funny. Getting dropped off by my parents, it was either in a small Holden Barina or the old school Tarago van, right front and center of training. And they're like, oi, what are you up to? Embarrassing, but that's cool that you're getting dropped off there. Happy to have mum and dad in your corner. But also school. How do you fit school in with everything, and have you signed any autographs for your teachers?
No. No. School has been pretty understanding with my journey. The principals, they kind of just, when I'm away, they just send my work all through emails. So I kind of just do my work while I'm over there, and I just catch up over there, so that by the time I get back, I already know what I'm doing. So school's pretty good.
That's good. One thing I wanted to ask you was, you've mentioned Glenn and your father, who seem like great mentors for yourself. How important is it to have a mentor or a couple mentors as you're early in your career, knowing that the way that you're going, you know, things are about to light up?
No, they're pretty important people. They're honestly my backbones. Like my group, my family and Glenn, they're my backbones to everything. And I think without these people, I honestly wouldn't have gotten to where I am. You know, with Glenn being my mindset mentor, he teaches me how to be strong during games and stuff. And I think that's pretty essential in the games, especially. Like, that's something that you need. And that's what makes you different from other players. And then you just have my brothers and my dad that just keep me a strong-headed, independent girl. And I think that's what you need in your corner at all times, no matter what.
Oh, that's amazing. I love hearing that, because just from the things that you've been saying, you know, about your habits, about being on time, but also being structured, understanding the past, you know, they only come with great mentors and the people you have around you. So I think you have a good circle around you. They're building a good foundation. I'm really excited to see what's next and what's to come. Final question for me. After a game, after a hard training session, what's your cheat meal?
Oh, good question. My cheat
meal. Now we're getting there.
You know, the good stuff. Yes.
Any takeaway, man. But my go-to is a double whopper, honest.
Ooh, double whopper. That's a new one. We've had that's KFC. We've had a lot of island food.
Yeah, a lot of island food.
You're the first double whopper.
Double whopper. Mm-hmm. Extra whopper with extra chips.
It's got to come with the Coke and the chips and the sauce.
Yeah.
that was me too. Love that feed. Getting hungry now. Hey, from the bottom of our hearts, we are so blessed to have you on here at the start of your career. And if we ask you later on in your career, hey, do you remember us? Can you please come back on this show? But no, you're doing amazing things. And we love hearing about your family, the rocks in your corner. You're doing great things. Keep on that trajectory because we look forward to seeing your journey for a very, very long time. Much love from all of us here at Nijan Footy. Thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you for having me.
Nijan Knowledge.
Yes, T, we have Nijan Knowledge. What's the score update?
6.5 I'm on and you're seven. On 7.
Yes, for all our listeners, we will be doing Nijan Knowledge where we ask 3 questions. We take a turn each week, keep a tally. Whoever wins, hands up in the air, bragging rights, and the loser will be getting a Nijan footy tattoo on the bottom.
All right, so, 3 questions. I'm up.
You're up.
Samoan twin brothers, Max and Matt Fiengai. What other Nijan nationality are they?
What other mix would they be? What's their first name?
Max and Matt.
Max and Matt.
Matthew and Max.
I want to say Fijian.
Fijian. Why Fijian?
Because the way you said Matt, you said it like a Fijian accent.
You've been to Fiji too much lately, bro. Nah, they're Tokelauan.
Oh, Tokelauan. Yes. It's close to Fiji.
Samoan and Tokelauan.
There you go. Nice. I don't mind that question. It's
a good question. Good
it's hard.
Info.
Very hard.
Like, mate, well, you got one pick out of... Oh, a few nations.
A few.
This... You just pick the one that you go to the most, which is Fiji. Next question. There is one Nijan player. There's one Nijan player in the State of Origin top 5 leading try scorers. Who is he?
Top 5 leading try scorers?
Ever in State of Origin.
Oh, ever.
Ever.
Ever. Has to be Valentine Holmes.
Oh, for you got to go Mel Meninga. Holmes is correct.
Yes.
With 16.
Yes. Tick me up 1, that's 8.
You got 1.
Beautiful.
All right, last one. Out the box question. Spell the word daiquiri.
Like, why?
What's wrong?
Well, why do I have to spell what? Daiquiri.
Yeah, daiquiri.
I don't want to spell daiquiri.
You go to the bar, you buy a something daiquiri.
No, I don't. No.
A cocktail. Daiquiri.
D-A-Q-U-I-R-I. I've got no idea.
Oi! You were so close. You're actually closer than my wife. She was bad last night when I asked her how to spell it. You missed the I after A, so D-A-I-Q-U-I-R-I. See, you're good, mate.
Nah, I dislike that question. I don't want to spell on air. I can't spell. But anyway, it's our time up for today for Nijan Footy. Remember, you can catch up on all our chats with Sir Michael Jones, Vani Are, and plenty more, which you can listen back to wherever you get your podcast to.
Ka kite, up the blues. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.